Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
And we're back. Welcome in, everybody, to The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody had a great 4th. It was a nice week. We were down in Pensacola at the beach most of the time, and the weather was gorgeous. The water was beautiful. First day we got there, there was a little seaweed. No seaweed the rest of the time. It only rained one time while we were down there, and that was like on Tuesday afternoon, and we'd already decided that we'd take that afternoon off from the beach so that we wouldn't burn, sort of,
right.
You know, and decided we'd go check out a movie and did, and it poured while we were in the movie. So, I mean, it was
what
perfect.
Movie?
God dang it, what was the name of the movie?
Wrong question.
No, just tell me what's out now, and I'll tell you. It was,
I'll let you know.
It was good. It was, golly, I'm blanking. I'm telling you, my mind has just not had to work too hard. I'm amazed I found my way back. And made it here to the station here today. Bill and Brian Matthews, B Matt, in with me here on the Monday edition of The Drive, and Drew is back at the controls. I appreciate the people that were interested that texted me on Monday. I don't know how many texts I got Monday. Where's the show? What happened? Are you all right? And it's like, after a few, I'm at the beach, and this is vacation. Things calmed down then for the rest of the week. So we had a great time. Definitely refreshed. I'm proud of the tan I've got.
Yeah.
Right now, I didn't burn. Haven't peeled. So that's always good. But yeah, we're here, and there are some things going on. I mean, you got U.S. Belgium soccer tonight, and Auburn, and the U.S. will have. It's best
Balogun,
player.
Yeah.
Balogun has been cleared by FIFA, has overruled the red card. Belgium not happy with that.
I think World Soccer is probably not happy with that, but I think USA supporters feel like it was a fair deal, considering the foul didn't look like a straight red to a lot of people. But, you know, I can understand how people in World Soccer who don't catch the same type break. They just have to are not really pleased that this has gone down this way. But I will say, from my experience of being a soccer fan for a while now, that FIFA is one of the most corrupt sports organizations in the world, and this is kind of par for the course as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah. But anyway, that's coming up tonight, 7 o'clock tonight, as they look to advance to really as far as they've advanced to the quarters. I guess you were looking at, was it 2002.
USA made it to the quarterfinals. They beat Mexico in the round of 16, 2-0, and then lost to Germany 1-0. I think that might have been the year Germany won. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know that we were saying the only time the U.S. finished
Brazil. Brazil won that year.
Okay.
And Germany was runner-up.
Yep. U.S. finished third in its very first World Cup back in 1930, but there weren't many teams involved.
Yes, that's correct.
So you didn't have to win as many to get there where they are. Anyway, that's going on. But, hey, while we were off last week, and by the way, Brian, how was your 4th?
It was good. I just hung out with family and grilled out and didn't, do the firework thing or anything. We just hung out, watched a little soccer on TV, and just, did family stuff.
Well, we did what we usually do on the 4th. Floyd always cooks hundreds of pounds of chicken.
We had wings on the grill.
It was just great. So we did that and heard the fireworks. But yeah, again, after being gone for a few days and coming back, and you need a day or so to just sort of relax and recharge, and that's sort of what yesterday was. There was an ambush while we were gone. You were there, right?
Yeah, I did go up to Alex City for that. Talked to Butch, came in, talked to us for a little while, and then we had Steven We had Nick
Kleinert.
Kleinert, yep. And then I had to get back because the USA was playing that night, so I missed the basketball coach, new basketball coach, women's basketball coach. But yeah, it was a nice little trip to get up there, and you know, nothing major came out. I do think I did put up a story this weekend. It's interesting to me. Butch said that.
I saw that story.
Yeah, he is starting, I guess, today.
How did he call it? How did he describe it? It was interesting.
He called it a pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage.
Right. Yeah. So he's going out to see Auburn's top four signees that are also draft.
The most likely, prospects. Likely draftable. Yeah. Signees.
Just trying to make that final pitch and say, hey. Mm-hmm. We've had these six, you know, three freshman All-Americans 2 years ago, three more this year.
Right.
Right, and hey, you can be the next group of that, and they can be. And so the main guys there, I guess, Coleman Borthwick, who is from Freeport, Florida.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely the top prospect by
Big,
just about everybody.
Physical kid, can be a starter, well, maybe not starter, but probably come out of the bullpen and be a top pitcher in the rotation as a big right-hander and also play a position right away. I think he's a two-way player, and I think I'm assuming he has 3 years of eligibility. I think he's a starter for 3 years, whether he comes to Auburn or whatever. I just think he's a special player. And then Jace Matuszynski is from Hudson, Wisconsin. Very talented infielder, very powerful bat. I think he could come in and start right away on Auburn's infield as a true freshman and be a special type player. So those are two of the ones he's visiting. And then two right-handed pitchers from Georgia, A.J. Rice is from Jasper, and Ty Tillery is from Madison. So he wants to go visit with both those guys too. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. The draft starts
Saturday.
I believe it's rounds 1-4 Saturday. And then is it just 10 rounds now or is it 20 still?
It's 20. It's still 20.
So, yeah, the remainder of the draft will be Sunday. So that's something we'll watch closely.
I think that's a great idea to go out and let them know how much, you know, you care about them and, and what your plan is for them if they, you know, if they decide that, you know, that they want to stay in college.
It's also important because if they say, hey, you know, we're probably leaning toward going, then you know, okay, that money that
we
set aside for you, now we have this money available if we need to go out into the portal and get another person for that position. And one thing Butch said, this is another story I put in, but it's always better to be one over than one under, talking about
building out the roster
for next year. So I think part of this will be a fact-finding mission, too, just to see if they need to make some more moves here in the portal or possibly junior college.
Right. Yeah, well, that's something you really need to know because you're waiting and the draft is coming up, as you said, this weekend. So some news, Auburn with a couple of players that have advanced and going to be playing for Team USA and with Chase Frelick and Jackson Sanders.
Yeah, terrific news for both those guys. Chase, is going to play catcher for the team. They're going out to, I think it's Taiwan here in another week or so to compete internationally. It's the USA Baseball Collegiate National Team. And Jackson, I think he had three innings of didn't allow a run in two appearances for that team and sort of the tryout phase of it. And Chase, he's sort of been a part of this whole thing for a while now. I think he did pretty good, but I think he can do even better than he did. But I think they got a lot of respect for his ability as a catcher. And then Ethan Bingman was out there competing too, and I think he did quite well, just did not make the team. I think they've got a couple of really good studs at the position.
Probably a little more proven than Ethan at this point. I mean, he was a fabulous freshman, though, there's no question.
And I can certainly see him making that team next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see him playing second or third for Auburn next year and being a really, really good player, not just for Auburn, but SEC and nationally.
Yeah, so, I mean, no question, excitement there about baseball. Let's see, sticking with Auburn, today announcing its new track and field coach.
Yes, they hired the former assistant who has been
Who has been, seven years, I believe, maybe? And has been National Assistant of the Year multiple times.
And
he's the guy that most people feel. I mean, he's the sprint guy, and that's where Auburn has been so good over the last few years.
Yeah, Ken Harden, is it Hardenen or Harden? I don't know how you say it. I don't know the correct pronunciation. That I apologize for not knowing that, but also
I believe it's Harden. Just Harnden.
Okay, and two-time Olympian, too. So just a terrific hire there, I feel like. I think a lot of people expected this.
Once
the move happened. And, I would not be surprised if they just kept this thing going, right? They've been very, very successful over there, that track program.
Auburn's been as good as anyone, and maybe better than just about anyone in the country, sprint-wise, here over the last few years. So that's interesting. Now, let's see. There was some football news while I was gone, while we were off. Auburn got at least one commitment.
It's hard for me to keep up.
Well, it's like, I would just check like once a day, just like, let's see. And I'm pretty sure Auburn got a commitment while I was gone.
I'm trying to remember which one it was.
As we approach.
Oh, Marquise Evans. That's right.
Yes.
That was a really big one. He is a very talented edge guy. High upside, maybe not quite filled out as much as he needs to be, right? But it will be. But they picked him up. He's from Spain Park.
That's right.
Nice pickup. Auburn beat out Tennessee, Florida, Miami, South Carolina. So if you're competing against those teams, you know you're getting a good player. He's a 4-star, one of the top players in state. So another nice win for Auburn. Auburn's up to 25 commitments.
Wow. I don't think anybody would have had any inkling that Auburn would have 25 commitments by July 4th, the way things were, back on A-Day.
No, not at all. they got their second commitment, I think, on A-Day.
Yes.
And here we are, 23 commitments later. So credit the staff. I think they've done a tremendous job. Golish, the staff, the people who give them the money they need to go out and do this, the people who do the evaluations and decide, okay, we can offer this guy this much. It's just a lot of work they put onto it. And I think they've done a fabulous job with this class. When I look at it, I see a great mix of guys you feel like come in and play right away, and then guys that have those high upsides that are going to be really good players or potentially to be really good players here in 2 or 3 years.
Which is something we've talked about that. I mean, it's more difficult to think you're going to go out and be able to sign a bunch of 5-stars unless your roster is almost barren and they're going to have to step out there and play because, it's difficult to just expect true freshmen to come in and play significant amounts. Now, you hope that they're able to get out there and play. Now that we've got a 5-for-5, you don't have to worry about them playing just a little here or, at a game early and then 1, 2, or 3 games later. But it's more difficult now if you're, if you're bringing in the big names that cost you big money, they better be playing a lot.
Yes, and I think this is the economics of college football now. You've got to be careful how you spend that money. For instance, I wrote about this today in my Monday musings, which we'll get to later. But you can go out and spend $2+ million on a starting 5-star quarterback or a starting quarterback in the portal. Right, but let's say if you're Auburn and there's a chance that Tia or one of the other young quarterbacks is good enough to be a starter next year, well, you can save that money, right, and invest it in maybe another position like left tackle or edge rusher or whatever your biggest need on the team is. So those things can make a big difference for a team, I think, if you can find guys that save you that type of money. It's just a brand new way of looking at things. It's so much different than just going out there and trying to sign all the best players you can sign in the class. That just doesn't work anymore.
And not for anybody. Nobody's able to sign the classes that are going to have as high numbers as we saw from Alabama and Georgia, Ohio State, just less than a decade ago.
Yeah. I need to go back and do this, but I think you can go back and say, look at the numbers like those recruiting classes would have total numbers.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, that total number. You've got 20 guys that average a 3-point, average a 4.6 or something
That ain't happening anymore, right? I mean, I know Texas A&M is maybe the exception this year. They got 6 5-stars in their class, but I don't think that's sustainable. I don't care how much money you have. I don't think you can do that.
The kids are going to want to play. If they don't play, then they feel like they can get about that much money somewhere else.
Right.
And the other thing you can do is if you feel like you spot some talent somewhere, you can get them initially at a better value.
Right.
But I mean, you let along a young quarterback, a Tristan T or a Reese or one of those guys. If you earn the starting job, you're gonna be making
You're going to make good money, but you haven't had to spend
right.
$2 million or plus a year on them right, just to get them here,
mm-hmm.
just to hope that they turn out to be as good as you want them to do, or spend that money and then have them leave after a year, which Auburn had last year.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
So, and, you know, it's just it's really an interesting process. It's not nearly as straightforward as it used to be.
Oh, no, it's so much more complicated. Yep. It used to be you'd think – all right, let's go out and get these guys. You're going to have them for a while.
Right.
Now there are no guarantees.
All the things mattered before, relationships, money, you know, maybe mm-hmm. differently, but now it's above table.
Oh, yeah.
But now what matters so much more is being smart, right, or having a great plan or, you know.
Well, I mean, we've seen it in all sports that it's so valuable to have experience. And if you have the chemistry, some experience with the players playing together.
Right.
So if you're able to keep most of a roster over 2 or 3 year period,
big.
Then you really, really have a much better chance of competing.
Yeah, and I went back and looked at Auburn's 39 transfers. 18 of them have 3 or more years.
Wow, I knew that 25, 26 of them had multiple years.
Yep, so that's big. Right?
Yes, it is.
Really big. So. That means they probably don't have to go out and do what they did in the portal last year, right?
Oh,
especially with this class, this 25, mm-hmm. who knows what it's going to look like in December, maybe bigger, we'll see. But with that and with all the multiple-year guys they signed in the portal last year, they can be much more selective and just fill important needs in the portal instead of having to go, God, we got to rebuild the whole team, you know, and sign 39 guys just to
you don't you don't want to have to be doing that every year.
It's expensive, no question. First of all, and then it's just
but there's so much pressure. You've got to get things right. I mean, right. We'll see. I mean, they're not going to hit on all 39 right. that they brought in. I mean, I like the initial reports and what we saw from the players that came in, but yes, that's very difficult to have to do that. And I think it's an amazing credit to Alex Golish and that staff, the support staff,
yeah.
as well as the assistant coaches, and their ability to be able to find players that they feel fit
yeah.
and bring them in.
Yeah, evaluation means so much. Philip Lawley, I think about him, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know if he still coaches the CFL or not, but him that have an eye for talent would be so valuable in this era of college football.
Yeah, I go back to Coach Dye, it was Frank
yep.
Orgel. You
yep.
know, it's like you had somebody that he counted. It's like if he saw somebody and he liked them, there's no question, that's it. We're taking him
yes.
if we can.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I think Cody Burns has some of that too. I think he has a really good eye for talent. One guy I just know that's on the staff that can do that. I'm sure there are others. But that's an important talent. I can just remember, you know, Philip back in the day, he would just go – he would watch film, or he would go to the game and see a guy, and that guy even
and
probably
you'd
didn't
go,
take
who
him.
Is this guy? Who's right. you know, who is this guy that's coming yep. in?
Joe Witt was great at it.
Yes,
yes. Mobile, South mm-hmm. Alabama, just owned that area and would always find great players, whether they were highly rated or recruited or not. So you need as many of those guys on your staff as possible.
We'd love for you to join us back here on the Monday. Now, yes, I hope folks didn't just start setting a spot somewhere else. There at 4 o'clock. We'd love for you to join in. Give us a call. Yes, the Drive Hotline will remind you. 334-321-1390. Sponsored by Skybar. Anything on your mind sports-wise, we're just underway here on the Monday Drive.
ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Brian was just looking at the bracket, and yeah, well, I mean, you would expect from this point on, I mean,
yeah.
when you get to the Sweet 16, if you will, of the World Cup,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be facing pretty good competition.
That's right.
Spain eliminating Portugal 1-0, so that will be the team that will play the winner yeah. of tonight's U.S.-Belgium match.
I just think it reminds me of 2019 Auburn basketball, right? They had to go through Kentucky,
yeah.
North Carolina, Kansas.
Yeah.
I don't remember the order exactly, but if U.S. Well, Belgium is a big national team, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little aging, but still really good. And then if they beat Belgium, Spain, and if they beat Spain, most likely France, which has been probably the best team in the tournament
yes.
so far by far, and just loaded with attacking players. So, yeah, but I mean – it's great what USA is doing, and if they advance to the next round, that'll be the farthest they've gone since 1930, whatever, when there was only 8 teams, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that so? It would be incredible, but I don't know how much farther they could go. We'll see.
Yeah.
Spain, to me, is probably beatable, I guess, maybe. I don't know about France.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing I have to do is beat Belgium.
Yeah, got to beat Belgium, which has a bunch of players on it.
One game at a time.
Yep.
That's one of the oldest phrases in sports and series. You can't,
may have heard that before.
Can't be thinking ahead any. We're talking about, you know, the current state of situation in college athletics. Interesting today that Auburn University and the University of Alabama come out with a joint statement saying, hey, we appreciate the effort. Protect College Sports Act, but
we
don't support it the way it's written.
Yeah, that's
not a surprise.
No, but it is a surprise having a joint statement from Auburn and Alabama. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Maybe something to do with the Iron Bowl or something. Maybe
blood drive. I mean, a couple of things. Food drives. I mean, that's about it. But they're competing against each other in those.
Yep.
So yeah, you're right. It is very rare, but I mean, I think that shows that
Bill has no chance.
This is a strong statement, and no.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already heard the SEC wasn't going to be supporting the Big Ten.
Right. I mean, that's
well,
that's,
first of all, they want revenue sharing.
Right.
And it's like, no, we're not going to do that. We are getting the money, and we're going to keep it.
Yeah. So, again, if college football or college athletics wants to solve the problems, the best way to do it is to sit down, collectively bargain, and not rely on the government or somebody else to come up with rules.
Oh, I agree.
Which is probably just going to make the situation worse. So,
mm-hmm. And that's exactly what right. Auburn and Alabama said today.
Exactly. They spent 7 years and countless millions of dollars going to Congress and, you know, hiring all these, you know, different people to – you know, try to influence them, and here we are with a bill that they don't want. I mean, that's just
let's see, it's not terribly lengthy. I will read you the statement, which was issued this morning, and it reads as follows. The University of Alabama and Auburn University oppose the Protect College Sports Act and urge the Senate not to advance it in its current form. That's the opening sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, that pretty much says it all. All right, we don't support it, we oppose it, and we urge the Senate not to advance it. It goes on, the bill is presented as a way to stabilize college athletics, but it would do the opposite by perpetuating the very instability it claims to cure through provisions that would, first bullet point, undermine implementation and enforcement of the rules established under the House settlement, including by narrowing the disclosure and enforcement tools needed to hold every program to the same standards. Second point, allow for new litigation, undercutting efforts to create uniformity and consistency in rulemaking and enforcement on the national level because of inadequate antitrust protection and preemption standards too narrow to displace the current patchwork of conflicting state laws, while simultaneously creating new forms of liability through expanded private rights of action. So there's no question. Lawsuits would immediately ensue if this bill were passed. Yeah. The next point was that it would establish an expansive federal program reaching into roster decisions, game scheduling, and internal governance to micromanage college athletics. And boy, they don't want that.
Right.
You don't want the government deciding who you're playing, you know, your roster sizes, who you can or maybe limiting who you can get. No, absolutely not.
And this is why they've wasted 7 years when they could have, and they've thrown away literally tens of millions of dollars in bargaining power.
Oh, they have lost tens of millions of dollars as well in lawsuits.
Right, exactly. I mean, exactly. You're right. If you go back 7 years and just do this then, bite the bullet?
Yes, it would have saved, you know, how
much?
Probably $50 million.
Right.
Easy.
Right. I mean, Texas A&M would not be spending $10 million. Nobody would be spending $10 million plus on a signing class.
On a signing class?
No.
That's crazy. On a signing class. I mean, remember, it seemed outrageous a couple of years ago that rosters could be $10 million.
Right.
Now you're looking at $40, $50 million rosters.
Right. So and as long as they keep pushing this goalpost down, it's going to get worse and worse until they finally wake up.
Mm-hmm. And then the last point, they say it would advance private equity interests who stand to profit from a redistribution of media rights revenue by pressuring institutions to involuntarily pool media rights in a way that punishes success rather than rewarding it. And I like that. Mm. That's, well, I mean, I understand, though, the more you win, the more you should make.
Right. That's the SEC and Big Ten not wanting to give up their
advantage.
Oh, absolutely
that is.
Yeah, that's them thinking about themselves. not necessarily what's best for college football overall.
No,
but
no, you're right. It's best for them.
Right.
Though.
It is understandable, I guess, their position.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And it closes out by saying, Auburn and Alabama stand ready to work with their congressional delegation and members of both parties on a durable solution that protects student-athletes and preserves the ability of universities to compete and operate responsibly. So yeah. If you want to keep working on it.
I've been working on this thing forever. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I mean, no, it's not, because you've got all the have-nots right. Are saying, no, you got to help us. We've got, you know, right. we can't continue to compete. Well, I'm sorry, that's sort of the way it is. That's my son in London, who I tell you what, we'll get to break.
It's 10:30 at night over there, right?
It
now.
It is.
And if they stayed up and watched the England game, it started like 2 a.m. I think. Was it last night? Yeah, it was yesterday morning for them. But yeah.
We'll get to break, and I'll call him back and see what's happening across the pond. And we'll be right back here on the Monday Drive.
With Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Everything's fine. Everything's fine across the pond. Just sort of checking in, I guess. That's crazy. I mean, when I was his age, there was no way we could think about spending a month like in England. So
Awesome.
So they're having a blast. We're seeing lots of videos of them, at London Bridge, and they've got the place they have has a huge, big field. Overlooking some water down at the bottom, and the kids are running around having a great time. So good for them, yeah. But he did say it's really hot.
I bet.
It's really hot. Yeah. Talking to some folks over the weekend, our buddy Mark Murphy was saying that they were over there. When they were over there, there was a heat wave, and Matt said, no, they don't have air conditioning, because most places in the UK don't.
Right.
Because it generally, I mean, it never got as hot as it's getting over the last few years there in England. But Matt at least said their windows open, so it's not terrible. He said the crazy thing is though that when I talked to him, I'd called him and he was he had to catch another call, so he was just returning the call a few minutes ago. But when I called him, he said, it's 9:48 because it was 3:48. I was on the way in. He goes 9:48, and it's dusk. He said, that's something that's taken a little bit of getting used to. Is it's not dark until after 10 o'clock, and they were worried about a 4-year-old and a nearly 1-year-old getting to sleep with it being light outside. But I think they're keeping them busy enough. But they're having a good time over there. It is the Monday edition of the Drive. Brian's in. He mentioned Monday Musings. We'll get to that in about an hour or so. Always look forward to that. Did I miss one? I guess.
Yeah, we got two. We can.
I did
two.
Oh yeah, well we could do one. We could do one this hour.
Yep.
We could do last week's this hour.
We'll do that.
I was thinking. Yeah, that's right. Because you were on Friday, before we took off last week. So I missed last Monday's as well. I missed everything on Monday. I mean, as far as anything sports wise or internet wise, things like that. Monday was first full day at the beach and going out and checking out some music and just kicking back and relaxing. What were the athletic musings a week ago?
I gave the NCAA a little bit credit for doing the 5 for 5. I thought that was a good move.
I agree.
Yeah, even though they faced some lawsuits initially.
I think
they could have avoided by just grandfathering anybody in, but they didn't for whatever reason. Which is fine,
If they had just done it mid-season, then they could have grandfathered everybody in.
It's been a lot easier.
It's tough to do it when you do it after the school year is done. Because some of the athletes would have already made plans to be doing something else.
Yep. And I also mentioned some numbers that Sportico put out. It's kind of a law/NCAA site that tracks things.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA spent $63.5 million in legal fees in just 2025.
Wow.
Nearly $300 million from 20 to 20, 20, 21 to 25 total in legal fees.
Well, wow, was way, way up. We were way under a little while ago talking about that. They could have probably saved $500 million.
On top of that,
something.
The NCAA spent $372.4 million in legal settlements in 2025. So in 2025 alone.
Did they make that much off the NCAA basketball tournament that they could afford to do that?
Almost $500 million. On this stuff.
In the lab. But that's last
just in 2025. Year. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's what I mean. Where are they getting all that money?
That's insane.
No wonder it's great to be a nonprofit.
Yeah. I guess so. Okay, so musical journey. Ready?
Okay.
This was last week's. We're going back 34 years. And this is good. If Dan was
this is right in Dan's wheelhouse. So we're 92.
Yes. Yes. The release of the soundtrack that helped launch the grunge era from a movie that was written and directed by a legendary filmmaker who got his start as a music journalist. This will help you out a
little bit. Cameron Crowe.
There you go. Okay. The movie is not one I don't think I've ever watched the full movie. I may have watched bits and pieces.
I've probably heard of it, and Dan's probably, if he happened to be listening
between
newscasts, he's like, come on, you should know this. And I feel like I should, but.
All right, the movie is Singles.
No, I don't. Yep. I'm not familiar with Singles.
I wasn't that familiar with it anyway. But anyway, the movie included like several of the grunge era's bands. Pearl Jam was in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Vedder, Stone Gossard, and Jeff Ament played part of the band that included Matt Dillon, because Matt Dillon played a grunge lead singer in that.
Well, I vaguely do remember that. I don't think I watched it, but I remember maybe I've seen bits and pieces of it, thinking, oh, that's Matt Dillon.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Allison Chains. I
didn't know the name of the movie.
Was in the movie. Soundgarden was in the movie. Bridget Fonda.
Yeah.
Kyra Sedgwick, Bill Pullman. So, pretty good cast there.
And it was.
Sort of went into that. And of course, Cameron Crowe, if you've watched, what was his autobiographical movie? I can't remember the name of it for some reason. But started out really with Rolling Stone, mm-hmm. right, as a 16-year-old, because he skipped, I think, two or three grades. Yep. So did that. And, interviewed a bunch of incredible performers. I didn't realize this, but he interviewed Fleetwood Mac back in the day, the Allman Brothers, Led Zeppelin, the Eagles, Steely Dan, Bob Dylan, David Bowie, just some of the bands he featured. And of course, did Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And that was actually a book.
Yes.
And he spent a year as an undercover high school student at this school in California.
Because he wasn't much older. He was barely older than them.
I think he was 19.
Yeah.
When he did it, I believe, and that's a really good movie. Almost Famous, which is a great movie, which is kind of autobiographical movie. But it's been a writer, a screenwriter, a director, just had a terrific career.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's cool. All right. So that was last Monday's. We'll get today's a little later on, and I've got a feeling it's going to be completely different.
It is.
Okay. All right. So I'll be thinking. Now we're not going to go classical or anything.
It's more in your warehouse, but it is kind of a one-hit wonder, though.
Oh, I'm pretty good with those. All right. We'll see about that a little later on. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Is there anything else that we that happened over the last week or so that we need to get caught back up on or discuss? I'm trying to think. All right, you mentioned you got a chance to talk to Stephen Pearl as well.
Yes.
At the ambush. And I saw pictures today of Mantis and Narcisse.
Both are here now, practicing and going through it. They had a week off actually last week. Mm-hmm. So now they are back. Practicing again, and now the whole team's together, I guess. So that was big.
Yeah, I think so. We're all here or something.
Bid to get everybody there, and I think it's going to be a really exciting team to cover and to follow. I just think totally different team with the size, more experience coming back with both Kevin and I think a much more mature Tahad, right? After everything he's gone through.
I think Tahad's probably. Just got to feel, even though he's the big name coming back and everything, I would think there'd be less pressure
I do too.
On him.
I don't think he feels like he's going to have to be the man to carry Auburn.
Which may free him up to put up much bigger numbers. Yes.
Yeah. I think this team really fits Stephen Pearl's size. He talked about a lot of the first parts of June practices were just one-on-one defense, getting an idea of what everybody was capable of doing and what they needed to work on. And as we move forward this summer,
that's Stephen's thing. Yeah, absolutely.
He is going to work more on team defense and more of what Auburn does when they're actually playing
a game. Yeah, but you need to know. I mean, that's a great point. He needs to know what each player is capable of defensively before you try to put them into a team concept.
That's right. So that's going on right now, and I think that's pretty exciting. And of course, football wise, we'll have SEC Media Days here in another couple of weeks.
Auburn is 2 weeks from tomorrow, right? Tuesday, I think.
I think that's right.
Auburn. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's right. Yep. So that'll be big. I don't think they have the times yet, so we don't know if Auburn will be early in the morning.
And unless I've missed it, we haven't seen the reps either, the representatives yet, have we?
No, not that I know of. Mm-mm, I haven't seen those yet. So.
Yeah, I figured if that came out, I would have seen that last week. And that's this is something that, sometimes it's easy. This year, Who do you think?
I think Byron Brown.
I would think Byron Brown's got to be there.
Xavier Atkins would make a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
And it's four total, right?
Is it three or four?
It used to be three. Yeah, maybe it's three. I'm trying to think who would be.
It's been three.
Maybe so. Jeremiah Cobb. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, that'd make a lot of sense. He's not, the most talkative kid, but he's definitely earned it. Let's say. So I could definitely see him doing it.
I'm thinking maybe one of the experienced guys on the back end of the secondary, maybe a Champ or a
– Yeah, I definitely see Champ Anthony. Alex Golish really likes Champ Anthony a lot, just his leadership and how tough he is and his versatility. And, he's back now too, so he's ready to go.
Yeah, and it sounds like, at least, here in early July, they feel like everybody's going to be – full bore, full go at the start of practice in August.
Yeah, I think so. I think Riddick is good to go now. And
that is huge.
He's a player that nobody talks about that could be really, really impactful this season if he can be 100% healthy and stay that way.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, it's 4:45. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to our final break here of hour number one. We've got calls holding. Slack, you'll be up first when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
With Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews here back in the studio after a week off, a nice week vacation, and then the fourth. Hope everybody had an enjoyable fourth weekend. Hopefully you got a little extra time off as well. Let's get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390, and Slack gets us going. Hey, Slack.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing fine, man.
Mm-hmm. I listened to a podcast the other day with Jaylen Brown, plays in the NBA. Very intelligent young man. He was one of few players that came into the league and represented himself. Didn't hire an agent. He represents himself.
Wow.
With that in mind, and with NIL going on, I would like somebody, whenever you get a chance, to ask Coach Golish, is Auburn University doing anything to help educate these kids how to take care of their money? But like the NCAA, that ought to be the first thing that they're concerned about instead of how many years a kid can play.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
I don't know specifically,
what Coach Golish's staff has them doing, but I know that's something that was going on, is that they're trying to at least offer the players. I don't know if it was mandatory. Or if it was something that was voluntary for the players, but I agree with you, Slack. That is something.
It should be mandatory.
You're absolutely right. I mean, for most of these kids, almost all of these kids, they've never had the access to the kind of money that they're getting now.
The, Some of them may never come close to making this type of annual salary, at least. Right?
Looked like I read something the other day where 80% of college athletes that come into the college game, basketball, football, or whatever, is probably one family household or well under.
I'm sure they're I wouldn't say they're all poverty or anything, but I would think that the majority of them are under the average.
Below the poverty level.
Yeah. So that's really a great. That's a great question. I hope they are, because it is something that, it's something they really 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 need. It's so easy. It's tough for me. I don't carry cash much at all, because it's tempting when you've got it to spend it, and it's much tougher the younger you are.
The weird thing now, if you go somewhere and you give somebody the cash, they look at you like,
that's exactly right.
What is this?
Yeah, you have to ask if they even take cash, because first of all, nobody has change.
Auburn could probably stand out and stick out if they start off in
promote that
classes like this.
I agree. I wouldn't be surprised
here because
they take care of me. That's really part of taking care of a young man and helping them or young lady helping them really grow up mature. Yep. And yep. Because at some point you're going to need to be able to handle your finances.
Exactly. And you don't need your uncle, your auntie, your cousin.
No, you need to be able to, maybe you're not balancing checkbooks or anything, but you need to be able to understand what you're going to have to pay and how you're going to have, how you're going to try to be able to do it.
Right. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, Slack, that's a very good call. I sort of expect, Brian, that something like that is going on.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just don't know it for a fact. I haven't asked that question.
No, so. But I mean, that's a good question to ask just about that.
It should be an important part of their education, the things they do for them over there, outside of the football.
Absolutely. And I would think that surely wouldn't hurt in a recruiting pitch.
Right.
Either when you're bringing them in is we're going to help your son or your daughter understand how to manage this money that they're getting.
Yeah, because it's hard when you're that age. I'm sure if I got that kind of money at that age, I'd have like the tricked out car of some type or other, which a lot of them do if you go over there.
Oh yeah, you're
right.
You
see the parking lot or whatever. But
I'd have about every electronics thing that was made.
They may not listen, but at least somebody needs to tell them, hey, do you have a future and you should think about putting some money away and investing it?
Because what you're getting is this isn't one of the states that has voted that it's not taxed.
Right. That too. Yes.
so you're not going to get to keep it all.
Right.
So that's a very good point. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love to hear from you. Anything that you want to talk about here. We've got we mentioned U.S. Belgium soccer coming up here in a couple of hours. There's no question there's more interest, and I know there's more interest in folks around here. Look, I'm not. You're a big soccer. You're a big soccer fan. I'm not, but I've paid more attention than I ever have before.
Yeah,
I mean, and it doesn't hurt when the U.S. is playing well.
Right, and this is probably the best U.S. team I've seen in my lifetime, in my opinion. That may not mean they win tonight against Belgium, starting here in about 2 hours, mm-hmm. but I can't wait. But they're fun to watch, and just I think all the hype and interest around this is going to, bring about a whole new generation of soccer fans in the States. I really do. I think this is one of those moments to look back from now, 10 or 20 years from now, like, hey, this,
oh,
this
yeah,
really,
I agree. I agree.
Really got it going. I know there were some other moments, but I just
there
feel
have
like
been,
this
but
one
it,
is bigger.
It never felt like mm-hmm. like this one has.
I agree, 100%.
And probably because the U.S. wasn't expected to last very long.
Right.
It's tough when you're hosting something and you're out.
And then when you've got like all-timers like Messi and, Ronaldo, mm-hmm. and then you got some great young players coming along. There's just a lot of interest outside of just the USA team. Like, I think a lot of people wanted to see England play Mexico in Mexico City, a mile and a half above sea level, and you know, could they overcome all these different things? And it turned out to be a really fun game to watch last night. And I thought it was also interesting that, you know, if you're in the UK, you're, you know, that game was starting at 2 a.m. for you.
Right.
So a lot of people were, I guess, setting their alarms early or staying
probably
up late.
Probably dragging today if yeah. if they had to go to work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I just think the whole thing was incredible.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. All right, we're just about done with hour number one. Again, we've got another hour to go, if in case you'd forgotten. Yeah, we're here with you till 6 o'clock. Brian will go over his this week's Monday Musings. We'll do that near the bottom of the hour. But until then, we're wide open. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews here back in the studio. Yes, we got last week off vacation time, and then the 4th of July. I hope everybody had an enjoyable 4th. I mean, it was nice weather, hot,
yeah.
But we didn't get rain. Like, a lot of forts, it seems like it rains some here during the day.
I think some places around here got some rain, but I don't remember getting much at our house.
We didn't get any at our house. We didn't get any until yesterday.
Yesterday, we definitely got
some. My goodness,
we
got some. It was great. It was really needed. The only tough thing about being gone for a week is sadly, some of the new sod that sod was sad, and I think it's dead.
Oh no!
So we'll have to redo that again. But no, everything was fine. Great having a few days off. Head down to the Gulf. Great food. Great weather. Some really good entertainment that we caught as well. So had a good time down there. Good to be back. Good to have Brian back in the studio here on a Monday. We'll get to his Monday musings here in just a little while. My goodness, look at the crowd getting ready for U.S. Belgium tonight as we've got checking it there on the TV. I mean, there was a huge crowd just with a band going crazy on the other side there just a second.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Look, take a look. Look there, Brian.
Oh my, yeah. They are ready, absolutely.
Yeah, no question about it. The U.S., making as deep a run as they have, and quite the challenge tonight against Belgium, but they will have Balogun available tonight.
Yep. So we will see. I don't know if they put out the starting lineup yet.
I have not seen it.
Usually comes out about an hour before kickoff. Mm-hmm. So.
And we're just under 2 hours away. So that's coming up. The winner here will take on Spain, which eliminated Portugal 1-0 a little earlier today. Do we don't know where that the next match would
be
yet.
It probably is set, but I see if I can find it. But
yeah,
that'll
we'll
be
if we can find
it. What would we say it was? Be Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a quick turnaround. But of course, both teams played today, so they'll have the same amount of time off.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of excitement about the World Cup. We were talked a little in hour number one, and you mentioned some of the comments that Butch Thompson had when you went up to the ambush up at Lake Martin. There was Auburn added a couple of players during our off week last week to the baseball team as well.
They did. Two more left-handed pitchers. They're really wanting to bolster
you can't have too many lefties.
And I think maybe the best one of the bunch was Dan Burns from Mississippi State. He went 3-2 with a 3.72 ERA and then 42 appearances at State, which is a lot over the last two seasons. That tells you.
Yeah, I think his career ERA is around 3.5,
yeah.
If I'm not
mistaken. This is a guy they depended on and got a lot of work for them. They believed him. So I think he's the guy that's going to step in and be an important part of that bullpen right away for Auburn. So I thought that was a really important pickup there. And then they also got another left-hander from Jacksonville State. Josh Sibley, yeah, that's his name. He had a 4.05 ERA in 17 appearances last year, including a start. He pitched one inning against Auburn, didn't give up a hit, didn't give up a run, struck out two here at Plains and Park. So he's got some experience.
Has he got what year is he?
I think he will be a senior. I think he was a fourth-year junior. Now, I believe the Mississippi State kid might be
– I thought he had maybe – I thought he may have 2 years.
Yeah.
Of course, now we got to remember with 5 for 5, a lot of guys will have a little extra year than you would have thought possible.
But he's also considered a top 100 Major League Baseball prospect, Dane Burns is, so he may only be here a year.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's nice to add those. And you had a great point. I mean, Butch was saying that his pilgrimage, which is going to go visit with the top draft prospects from Auburn's signing class, the top four, I believe, he's going to visit. And I hadn't really thought about this, but no, it's great to be able to see face to face. You'll have a much better idea if you're talking to somebody face to face, if they're really coming in, or if they're really serious about coming to school, or whether they're leaving, and give you a much better idea of, all right, we need to be looking for somebody else to try to help fill that spot in case they don't come.
Yeah, you're not just sitting down with the kid; you're sitting down with the kid, his parents, his family. You get a whole feeling from the whole group what they want or what they're looking for, and a good idea exactly what their number is. I'm sure they probably don't want that out there, but hey, if a team is going to offer us, you know, $3.5 million or more, I'm just making this up, kind of, but it's probably around that. We'll probably go ahead and take it, but if not, then we're coming to Auburn. So he'll have a better idea of what that is once he visits each of these guys. Coleman Borthwick, of course, is going to be the one who is the most highly rated and could, you know, go in the top 20 picks.
And I think I've seen somewhere where, you know, it's projected he's probably in around that $2.8 to $3 million projection, if that's where he goes.
Right.
Somewhere in the top.
MLB.com had him as the 35th pick, which is $2.8 million slot value. Doesn't mean you get all that, but that's what you could get. Which I don't know if it gets to that. That may be enough to push him to Auburn. We'll see. But I think
Auburn can compete with that.
Well, you know, that's just a one-time payment. Auburn,
that's,
you know,
true.
Can pay
Auburn
you
can
over
say,
3 years, right? Mm-hmm. Plus, you're getting the college experience. You know, you're getting to
which is worth a heck of a lot. I mean, it really is. Just to be able to not be, you know, in the minors, and you've got your room and board taken care of.
You
and travel is going to be a whole lot better.
Development will be very good here, and then just to be able to, you know, socially be around
young
people
so
your
many,
age.
So, that's exactly right. Be around
so
many.
And if I was 18, I'd be thinking about all the girls at Auburn,
too,
of course.
You're not kidding about that.
And, of course, I married one way back in the day, thankfully. So, yes, very lucky. But, yes, that would be a big pull for me if it was me, but it's not me. And I didn't have to stare at possibly making
have to be concerned with those options.
Yeah. And then Jason Matuszynski is another one that's going to be, you know, potentially
infielder.
Yes, could play shortstop, as a matter of fact. And he's from Wisconsin, a guy that they feel, I think, fairly good about getting here. But we'll have to wait and see what the draft does with him. And then a couple right-handed pitchers from Georgia and Ty Tillery and AJ Rice.
Yeah, so he'll be doing that this week. Because the draft starts on Saturday.
It does. The first four rounds will be Saturday, then 5 through 20 on Sunday. And baseball draft is not like any other draft. For instance, if Coleman Borthwick is picked by somebody in the 16th round.
In that players can go through the draft, be drafted, and still go to college.
Right. But nobody's going to pick Coleman Borthwick 16 or 20 or whatever unless they've already agreed to deal with them.
Right.
Now, sometimes those deals could fall apart. You see that occasionally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 96%, I don't know, 95% of the time.
Well, they would at least have an idea that, first of all, he is interested in being a part of your organization.
Right.
And would be be amenable to the number that would come with that spot.
Yeah,
wouldn't necessarily mean that
they're not going to draft.
We definitely agreed because you know, the other teams that are drafting 17, 18, 19, you know, are doing the same thing. So a lot of them, multiple teams will just want to find out, hey, you know, if you're available at this spot, would you know, or would you sign, or would you, do you think you would
take this amount.
Be interested in signing for this amount.
Right. And some teams like to go under slot value so they can spend more on other players.
Right.
And stuff. So we'll see exactly how it goes. But if he is taken in that first round, that means he is 99% signing with that team because he's
right.
already come to an agreement. If he's not, if he falls below.
Yeah, because teams don't want to lose that slot.
Right.
I mean,
because they lose it and they lose the money for it too.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing is, if he starts falling past, you know, if the drafts go in the first round, you're to 25s and 30s, then you can start like, oh, maybe this is going to happen. Maybe mm-hmm. this is good news. Maybe he's already turned down something and he's out. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no question. I mean, now Auburn's still, expecting Chris Rembert, Eric Guevara to move on,
and
right?
Petro and... I think Ryan Hetzler is one just to keep an eye on. I think the expectation is he's going, but I don't think that one's as set in stone as maybe the other three are. And then Garrett Brewer is a possibility, I think, as a guy probably looking just mm-hmm. ready to move on with his career. And one more pitcher, Jet Johnston is another one that's probably prepared to move on to, considering everything works out in the draft.
I think you can sort of tell when you look at the players that Auburn has gone out and brought in the portal, it's been more pitchers than anything else.
A lot of bullpen pitchers. Mm-hmm. I think they want to get better there, number one, and have more depth, and also have to replace some key pieces there. And, of course, they'd love to get Hetzler back too.
Oh, yeah.
But they have done a lot of work to bolster that bullpen. I think, they're going to have to move some guys around too. With losing Petrovic, they're going to have to find another starter. Griffin Graves is expected back, so he's a possibility.
He's a guy that was going to be a starter until he got hurt.
Right, right. And, I could see the freshman this year.
LJ
Cormier potentially
a starter. Oh, yeah, no question.
Has the attitude, definitely has the stuff mm-hmm. to do it.
Oh, he sure
does. I could see him being a Friday night guy, honestly, just the way he competes.
Yep.
He's got the attitude of a Friday night mm-hmm. person and the type of guy that you want. Him and really Andreas Alvarez are both guys I would love to throw Friday nights just because they're really competitive. I think the team gets behind them. I like this type of pitchers sort of open up series.
Man, I tell you what, it's really exciting to just look at the players that are coming back and go, wow. I can never recall Auburn bringing back as many
right.
talented players
yep.
as they are.
You're getting back all the good players from, 2 years ago, except for Chris Rembert, who was mm-hmm. Available from that class. You're getting everybody back you wanted to get back from this last class, including three freshman All-Americans. Plus, you saw guys develop, from 2 years ago to this year, that like Brandon McRain,
mm-hmm.
who could possibly do that during this offseason.
Yeah, I saw Brandon's having a good summer league.
I mean, you don't know how good Taylor Bells is going to be.
Right.
This time next year, Caden Combs is another one that could become a really good
Taylor, I think, is off to a really, really good
start. Not surprised there. I mean, he came on late in the season, right, and started mm-hmm. For Auburn a lot in the postseason. So I know everybody wants Auburn to go out and sign these big bats in the portal, and they got a couple bats. But they also want to give guys, like I've just mentioned, an opportunity and then have space for if they can get Borthwick.
Well, I mean, when you've got as many talented players that are coming back, you got to take care of them first.
Yep.
You absolutely do. I mean, you don't want to go out and like, all right, we're going to sign the best bat out there, and then a couple of the guys that you have already go, wait a minute, is he getting more than I am? And I've already proven something here. So.
Right. So they didn't do that, and they got everybody back, and, everybody they were – thinking they had a real chance to come back, and now they've got a chance. We'll see here in the next 6 days how many of those guys they can hold on to. And, I think this is another very talented class, and they're going to get most of them in, and then it's just down to three or four guys to see how many of those mm-hmm. they can get in.
Yeah, so it's definitely exciting as we head up toward the MLB draft, which is coming up on this weekend. Has there been any other reaction, I haven't really seen anything more since the Major League Baseball proposed changes to the draft.
Yeah, the only thing I saw was a big pushback from from
no
the
doubt
other
about
side.
It. The MLBPA, the Players Association,
yeah, like no,
I can see.
So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Everything's a bargain chip, and
I mean, they don't want the draft reduced.
Right.
They don't want high school players not involved.
Right.
I mean, that would be great for college
yeah.
if the high school players weren't involved. But I can't imagine just you know, all of a sudden, no more high school players, because they're usually 150 to 200 players taken in a 20-round draft, right. High schoolers.
Right, and you remember the draft was 40 rounds, not that long
well,
ago.
It was 40, and before that it was unlimited.
Right.
Because Mike Piazza was, kept like going. Piazza was like a 63rd round pick. It was the draft lasted till the last team that was drafting decided they couldn't find another person to take.
Yeah. That must have been something trying to cover that or keep up with it. Yeah,
what kind of board and room would you have? You know, it'd be like thousands of players you'd have to have on your board. Yeah. Like, who's left?
But now the majority of kids taking the draft come from college. So it is the number one way to develop talent. And I can see why.
Well, you've got better facilities, better coaches. You know, it's at least high. I mean, when you look at the SEC, it's at least high A, if not double A.
Yeah.
Level
and if
baseball.
You're a Major League Baseball team, it's a great way to save a bunch of money instead of investing in these players. Just wait until they spent two or three years in college. You find out much more about them. They develop more physically. You've seen them compete against other great players at a very high level. So you just have
more
a better
and more
idea.
Of those guys are in the majors within a year.
Yep. That's right. So I think it is moving that way. I don't know how far that way it's going to get, you know, this next.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the way it is in negotiations. I mean, you throw out some crazy things and hope that something sticks. But I am very, very concerned. Look, I love baseball. I am very concerned that there's not going to be Major League Baseball next year.
Yeah, boy, they seem to be far apart in a lot of ways.
Yes, indeed.
But, you know, I've been thinking about it, and the thing with the Players Association pushing back on the draft and everything is, I mean, they can get paid in college now, right? They can make a lot of money in college. So
yeah, they can.
I don't know that it should be that big of a deal for them.
Well, there are some players, though. There's some players that aren't college material.
So maybe let them cut back on the draft a little bit more.
Some of them just want to play ball. Yeah. They could care less.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't care less
about, you know,
yeah, no doubt.
Getting a college degree.
No doubt about that. I don't question that at all. And there are also junior college for those for those kids, too. But, you know, I agree there needs to be some sort of pathway for guys like that.
What I think would happen if, I mean, and I don't think it's going to happen, but if they said no high schoolers, I think there'd all of a sudden be independent baseball somewhere. There'd be independent leagues popping up for those kids.
And I don't know how successful minor league baseball is right now compared to 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I have no idea.
I think minor league baseball has had a bit of a resurgence, but part of it's because there are fewer teams now.
Okay, there are fewer teams.
No, they're much fewer. You used to have two or three single A teams. You'd have short season.
And you have rookie teams,
rookie leagues. You'd have developmental leagues. You know, now you don't have nearly as many.
Okay,
I think what Major League Baseball would sort of like to get it to is we got a single A, a double A, and a triple A, and that's it.
And that's it. Okay, three teams per franchise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where now they probably have five or six. That makes sense.
Yep. All right, we'll get to our first break here in hour number two. We're not too far away from Monday Musings, which is always fun. I struck out on last week's.
I think you got this one.
I knew Cameron.
It is going to be a tough one though, because it is a one hit wonder, and it's not like a band that you would talk about for any other reason other than this one song. So
okay, all right. We'll see about that here in just a few minutes. In the meantime, love for you to join in. Anything on your mind, sports wise or otherwise? It is it is July. It's the talking season.
It is
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and you can give us a call. We'll be right back here on the Monday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 106.7.
Part of the Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews here in the studio. Drew is at the controls, and let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Warren is up. Hey, Warren.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Quick baseball question. I saw where Bristol Carter moved on and went to South Carolina. What's the story there? Is there any story behind that?
Well, he did get suspended, I think, or was out for at least one game in the postseason for a little off-the-field issue. But, I think Auburn was ready to move on. I think he was ready to move on. So it was just a pleasant parting of ways. And Auburn went out and signed a – center fielder, in the from portal.
South. Was he right. from South?
No.
No, he was
from Georgia State.
That's right.
John Beverly, also bats leadoff. So I, you know, I
speed like another that. Speed right. guy. So so a similar yeah. style.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know style. Similar and then, yeah. character.
And then Kay Ballou is coming back. You know, he'll be a senior, I believe.
Yes.
And he certainly, if he can stay healthy and, you know, consistent, has the potential to be an outstanding center fielder defensively and offensively. So I think Auburn has some options there.
Oh, that's good. Well, yeah, if there was some problems there, then that sounds like they handled it. So that sounds good.
Yeah.
What's the schedule as far as reporting and all that for the football program? When is it? Towards the end of July or is it the beginning of August?
It's funny. It used to be a big deal
yeah.
because it would be reporting day and, right. and the guys weren't around. I don't know if any of the players that haven't been here and right. aren't staying through the summer, Brian.
Yeah, I think all you know of the I think there are four or five guys from the signing class that weren't here during spring.
Right.
They've already reported.
They've been in school here yeah. in the summer.
So everybody's going through summer workouts. So I don't know the official report date, which is, you know.
Yeah, we will find. We'll
the
find
first day
out,
of practice
yeah,
yet.
We'll find yeah. out probably during media days what the first day of practice is, and then they'll have that official. I'm sure they still call it reporting day, where they measure and weigh right. everybody, and they you know go through their physicals and right. things like that. But
I think every be the day or the days before, you know, because they probably can't do them all at once. They'll probably do them, you know, in the days leading up to the opening practice.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Warren. Well, that's another one of the things that, along with the 5 for 5, I mean, there have been some. I think these are still proposals for changing the practice times to allow a little more
yeah.
practice
summer
yes.
workouts. Yeah, which I think is something for
sort of like OTAs that we've been talking
yeah.
about and hearing about for years.
I think Ufreeze has been one of the leaders of mm-hmm. trying to get that changed. And I thought it was a good idea when we first wrote about it and talked about it, you know, over the last couple of years. And it's good to see them move in that direction, right?
No question.
It makes much more sense to have more of your team together and have those workouts in the summer now when everybody's already there anyway. So you might as well do some more football type stuff instead of just the workouts, and you're closer to the season. So, yeah, I think this is the way college football is moving, more like the NFL, right? Just copying some things from that league.
Well, I mean, now that you don't have a spring transfer portal,
right?
I mean, it's it just makes more sense to be able to do that.
Yeah, it does. And if they do this, it might allow, because a lot of people would rather have the transfer portal in spring rather than you know, right after the season or mm-hmm. during the end of the
season.
Yeah,
because you've got to, because when you have it where it is now, you're trying to squeeze it in. And that was one of the other things. I think the portal was going to be cut to 10 days.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is coming through.
Yeah.
Which is
look, players already, that want to go in the portal, yeah.
they don't need
to wait 15 no. days.
They've already announced before the portal even opens that they're going in, most of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, that was fine. The whole when the portal window opened is interesting to me. I think the Big Ten teams all wanted, or the, a lot of Northern teams wanted it to be just one portal in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do that, you've got to have – you can't have spring practice anymore.
No, you're not. That's right.
It's dumb to do that.
You need to have practice right. once you know who your team is for the fall.
Right, and it might make more sense academically to do it then, right? Because you're not doing it in the middle of football season.
Right, you're not doing it in the middle of a school academic
right.
year. You know.
Right, so but if you're going to do that,
then
you've
got you
to
need
have,
to have the summer workouts.
Right.
Need to be able to do that. So yes. You'd be able to have some workouts in the winter / spring.
Right.
But then have your main workouts, where you're installing and getting everything ready.
Yeah.
Once you know this is my roster that I'm right. going to have for the fall.
And it might work out better that way. A system where okay, our spring workouts are with our returning players and all our freshmen. So that gives them
right.
all a chance to work together and learn everything. And then once we get into summer OTAs, we've got all the other veteran guys coming out of the transfer
the
portal.
Transfers.
Right, to fit in there and compete and everything. So it's just one way to do it. I think coaches like the idea of getting guys in earlier just so they can, you know, build the chemistry and, you know, have all those things, the off the field stuff that's so important to building a team, but it might work out better academically and for other reasons to do it all in the spring, but we'll see.
Yeah, so that's something that will be, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that does. Now, I think it probably will.
Maybe eventually, yeah.
Come through. All right, we're approaching the bottom of the hour, so we'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break, and then we'll get Brian's Monday musings from today. So look forward to that, and love for you to join us as well. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, here on the Monday Drive.
With Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final half hour of the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Before we get into your Monday musings, just to catch everybody up on what all's going on there at AuburnSports.com, some of the stories and things that are out there and what's coming up. Know that in a couple of weeks, it's SEC Media Days.
And it's surprising how much content we're having up right now, and there's no games going on, right? We're just I'm doing updates on position previews and looking ahead to the games this season.
What's the latest one you've done?
Let's see. I did Vanderbilt, which is a really interesting one. They're going to have a true freshman quarterback, the kid that flipped from Georgia there
Sunday.
He is going
probably
to be their starter.
One of the most high profile signees I can ever recall at Vandy.
And the game at Auburn will be his first road game, so that's going to be big. Of course, and Vanderbilt's beaten Auburn twice in a row now, but that was with a pretty good quarterback. So we'll see how that does. And then I guess I'll do cornerbacks for tomorrow, position preview.
Cornerback's really interesting. I mean, there's talent, not near the experience there is at safety.
And I expect there's going to be a lot of other than Andre Jordan, I think there's going to be a lot of competition there. And for second, you know, for
Rayshon
backup
Pleasant,
jobs.
I would think.
Yeah, Rayshon probably, yeah. But, you know, I think that's an opportunity for maybe a player or two
to step up and take
a job maybe that people aren't expecting. So that should be interesting. And then, you know, tons of other coverage with the draft coming up, the baseball portal, and just, you know, different things, basketball practice, just JG's doing his countdown of top players on the team. Kayla's doing a great job of doing like how they got here pieces of some of Auburn's transfers and such. So just really a lot going on. I'm actually shocked by how much. I'm like, I'm going to put this up. Oh, no, they just put up two stories. I'll wait till later to put mine up. You know, it's just how it is right now. So that's good. But Monday musings.
All right. First of all, the athletic musings.
Yeah, and I talked about a lot of things we talked about today was the amount of money being spent on the 2027 class, you know, how –
For football?
Texas A&M, yes, might be the biggest spenders in the country right now.
Well, they sure appear to be.
They've got 6 5 stars. They're estimated to be north of $10 million already for that class. So, you know, and of course, most teams in the SEC, including Auburn, can't do that, right?
No,
it's just not in their wheelhouse. And
well,
see
it's not
how,
feasible, even if you've got $40 million.
Right, and we'll see how well.
Spending that much upfront on players that haven't even –
right.
You know, stepped on campus yet.
And we'll see how much of this actually works out for A&M with, you know, the clearing house and all that. We'll see. But I just – it's hard not to be able to give players money because they're playing football for money. But we're not going to call it that. We're going to call it NIL. But that's beside the point. I talked about that some and about how you can bargain shop now in college football. That's going to be an important part, I think, for Auburn and a lot of teams.
The ability to evaluate talent
right.
and spot that talent and the incentives. I know you can't, like you said, you can't quite do that, but I mean, players that prove what they can do are going to earn more. I mean, that's just a fact.
Yep. I mean, and we mentioned the quarterback position, right? If Auburn doesn't have to go out and sign a transfer, if Auburn can find a starter from Tristan Tia.
Yeah, if you don't have to invest like a couple of million dollars in an unproven guy, if you can get someone who you feel like has talent that you can get in and they feel like if they can, you know, make it into the starting lineup,
yeah,
then they're going to make that kind of money.
Yeah, and that you can put that money toward maybe another position of need. So there are a lot of different ways to do it. I think other ways are, in the transfer portal, not just going and getting the best player available, but maybe getting players with 2, 3, and 4 years of eligibility left.
Yeah, you pointed that out a little while ago. Yeah. And I was surprised that there are 18, yes, you said 18 players that have 3 or more yeah, years of eligibility?
Yeah, and if you think about it, when you're recruiting a high school kid who's 16, 17, 18 by the time he's a senior, right, that kid is still changing.
Right.
So you're still maturing, projecting. Right. Now, there's some kids you can look at and say, okay, this guy's going to be a star. But when you're talking about the thousands of 3-stars out there, it can be hard to say, okay, this guy's going to be a all-SEC player in 4 years, and this guy's not. It's hard to find those kids sometimes.
But it's easier if they have a year or so of college experience.
Right. If they go to a group of 6 school and they're a year or two and they're already starting and they've developed more and they're starring, well, that might be a great time to invest in that kid, mm-hmm, and be maybe a kid you've already had a relationship with if you recruited really hard.
I'm thinking not group of 6. I'm thinking like a power four, like Derek Plass or something.
Anybody not in the SEC or Big Ten, basically, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's a great example. Absolutely. So those are different things you can do. And then I also wrote just a little bit about Jordan Hare and how the team hasn't been playing well over the last 5 years.
It's been a struggle for Auburn at home the last few years.
But it's 22 straight sellouts. I believe that's correct. And, it's just a fan base in a stadium waiting for a good team to show up.
Oh, you're right. Because they're starving for it.
Yes, Jordan Hare will be a place where people and their good records and high rankings come to die again. I firmly believe that. They just needed competent coaching, recruiting, development, mm-hmm, and I believe they have that under Alex Golish, but we'll see. I don't want to say he is or isn't, but he's got to prove it first, but I think the potential is there for that to happen. So, musical journey.
Okay, here we go.
Brian
said it was a one-hit wonder. Yep.
And there is an Alabama connection.
Oh, there is?
Yes, there is an Alabama connection. Okay. So we're going back 52 years to July 6, 1974.
74?
Yep. To the first disco song to top the charts and kick off a new era of music.
All right. I think I know what it is. I've always argued that wasn't really
okay. There is the argument
disco
too.
Song. I always felt like.
Well, now this may be a different one then, because I think is.
Okay. Well,
there's like 2 or 3 songs that could possibly be this.
Well, I mean, because I always felt like MFSB and TSOP was probably, the Soul Train song.
Right.
Was probably the first. Yes. I thought that was more the first disco. But I've heard a lot of people say that the Hughes Corporation.
Got it again.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's not in my mind a disco song.
Rock the Boat, yep.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I really like the song. What's the Alabama connection with
I did not know this. And I could not find a lot of information about her. But it's Hubert Ann Kelly. I guess you went by Ann, I'm assuming. But I've never heard of
I don't know really many details about the group because it's not. They were definitely a one-hit wonder.
Yes, they were. They didn't have, I think they had one other song, and that was on the first album that was in the top 20, and the rest of them were just.
All right, so it's funny because over the weekend, yeah. I love listening to Casey Kasem's Countdown, and it was either 74 or 75 they were playing, and when they got, because they were in the top 10, and when they played, they either played Rock the Boat
or it's Rockin'
or I could George McRae and what is his song that was had something rock something in it. They remind me of each other.
Right.
And I said, that reminds me, and it was the next song on the countdown. But Rock the Boat, I didn't feel like that was truly a disco because disco would be it'd have the same just repetitive. Theirs was little dun 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 dun. But anyway, so the Alabama connection was what?
Hubert Ann Kelly, which it was a trio, right? There's 2 guys, and she was kind of the soprano mm-hmm. voice. You can hear her singing. She's from Fairfield, Alabama.
Oh, I did not know that.
And I could not find a whole lot of information other than when the band broke up or right before it, she left to become a minister, which I thought was really interesting. This band, they were kind of put together by the producer, our manager, Wally Holmes, who wrote most of their music, including the song. One thing I thought was interesting was when he wrote the song, the original opening line was, "Ever since our voyage of love began," which, you know, whatever.
Well, that is like...
But the opening of it got changed.
They actually did the chorus to start, and then that's the right. opening of the first verse.
Okay. But the producer...
It was just like the rush of the wind or something.
Producer John Flores changed it to, "I'd like to know where you got the notion," which is really a nice little...
Well, see, that's the intro to the... To the chorus.
Yes.
"So I'd like to know where you which got is, the notion."
Yeah, which is really good. I mean, that's a great line to me. And
"Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock your baby," was the George McRae
song. Okay, there you go.
"Rock your baby." Those two came along right at the same time. Both were really big. But I never really felt either one of those was really disco, like disco.
Right, like disco.
Stuff.
But maybe it's just the beginnings of it.
I guess.
They began as opening act for Frank Sinatra, Glen Campbell, Milton Berle, some of the ones they were. And then they got a big break. They were featured in it's called Blaxploitation film called Blackula in 1972. So they performed in that and had three songs on the soundtrack, I believe, and that kind of got them going. But together 11 years, six studio albums, but this is really their only big hit.
Yeah, it was.
That still gets airplay.
Oh, that's cool.
They had Rockin' Soul was another one. That reached number 18 on the Billboard 100, and nothing else really. The highest they got was in the 60s.
Well, I was going to say, but rock, rock the boat.
Took the boat over.
Was something it's still,
still in the.
It's still a familiar song.
It still pops up
from that era.
Oh,
no, there's no question about it. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So from grunge from grunge last week
to
early disco.
And I'm not afraid to admit that disco is one of my favorite eras of
Look, music. there's an awful lot of those songs that you can't help but move. Yeah. You know, you're gonna at least tap your feet or something when you hear it.
I mean, the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, of course.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, yeah. So yeah.
I mean that's the height
of
disco there. Look, I've got to admit, while I was working at a station down in South Alabama, working two stations in South Alabama, they had a night job as well, running the disco. The other
at a club.
At the Ramada Inn.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome.
Oh yeah, and you knew exactly when to hit the disco ball.
Yeah,
you know, on the floor, get folks out there and see how many I've still got. I think I've got a couple of tapes, reel to reels.
Oh wow,
that we made of some of the mixes, of some of the things back then. So I mean it was
that's
fun.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So Brian does these every Monday. I mean, you never know what genre it's going to be, and usually trying to find something. So what was is this when it hit number one or something?
Yeah, it was quote unquote became the first disco song to hit number one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it hit number one 52 years ago or something like that.
And of course, like we talked about, that's disputed. What is the first disco song?
Oh, yeah. Because some of those.
There's another one too. What is it? I'm trying to think of the name of it. I'll look it up.
If
but there's
think
another
of the artist or something. I could probably help you. Back in.
I didn't think this was a disco song at all. But Soul Makossa, no. Love Train, Rock the Boat, Never Say No. This is not it.
No, Love Train wouldn't. That's OJ's, man. That's not a disco song. But because I was thinking it'd be more like the Soul Train theme song, MFSB by TSOP.
Yeah, I think that's what I was thinking of. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, fun little song, fun little band,
Yeah.
And with an Alabama connection, pretty cool.
Well, that's always good. All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us if you'd like, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Monday Drive.
Hey, Auburn Opelika, this is Brooke with Grooms by Brooke. Thank you.
321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final segment here on this Monday with Bill and Brian. And let's get right to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And James is up first. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Pretty good.
Hey, just food for thought. This is probably something that's been discussed and probably shot down many times. But I just got to thinking about something. You know, Auburn uniforms, home and away, they're pretty much, they stayed the same through all these
yep.
years.
Pretty you close know? To, yes, yeah. standard, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Do you, I was just wondering, if a change ever comes about, who makes that, who approves that? Is it the head coach, or is there somebody within the athletic department that, you know, that gives it the okay, or?
It would go all the way up to AD, maybe even higher. You know, that would be.
I think it would probably, yeah, that probably need to be approved by Samford Hall, but yeah, I would think the definitely the head coach would have to be behind it and have support from the AD. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you know. I really thought when Harsin was there, you might see some crazy stuff because of his Boise State connection, but you know, Hugh Freeze was kind of middle of the road, and I don't know how Golish is going to be. But, I, you know, not that I'm promoting a change. I was just wondering how it, you know, if there ever was one, what was the protocol as far as being approved or disapproved?
That's a good question. I mean, I still wouldn't be stunned to see orange jerseys again at some point.
I wouldn't either. I've advocated for it. I think.
I mean, look, you see it in all the other sports.
Right. Right, exactly. And you don't have to do it for the Iron Bowl, right?
No,
you can do it for a non-conference game against, you know, Jacksonville State or Sanford
for a homecoming
or whatever.
Game right. or whatever.
You know. It might drive interest.
Yeah, you know.
It would drive sales in an era that you need more money to pay for all these things. So.
You know, and I don't know where I saw this. It might have been on Facebook or somebody had a picture of an Auburn helmet with a base color of silver. You know,
yeah.
kind of a
have one of those
gray.
Chrome-looking, right.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, I've often wondered, hey, you know, maybe a little, that might be a little modification they might get handled, but
yeah, that doesn't mean you do it all the time or anything. No.
No.
My only thing anyway, that really upsets me about Auburn and uniforms and colors is they do not use burnt orange. I just hate that they use this bright, I just despise it. It
looks
just,
better to me. I like the burnt orange.
I do
navy
too. And you know, they decided 15 years ago that this brighter orange looked quote unquote better on TV. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Navy and burnt orange is Auburn's colors. I don't want them to change, and I want them to go back to that. So that's just my pet peeve. I know other people, you know, don't agree with me, but that's something that just riles me up a little bit.
I got you. Look, that was it. I appreciate your time, and as always, enjoy the show, man.
Great. Thanks, James.
Okay, buddy.
334-321-1390, and Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. Couple quick things. I agree with you, Brian. I despise the orange coat.
I love
the burnt orange, man. It just it burns me up because I watch Oregon State, and I'm like, that's the orange that I like in Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the orange that we have, but they don't
use it. It goes great with navy blue.
Yeah, I didn't get to call in last
week. Florida keep that orange and then that blue.
Yeah.
Thank God Auburn hadn't gone more that blue.
Thankfully.
Yeah, Bill, when y'all were talking about 2 weeks ago about the things of the past and bringing up old cool stuff, I didn't get to call in. But you were talking, one thing that happened when you were doing like the seventh caller or the sixth caller for the tickets, I was thinking back to when I was in high school in Pensacola. And I would go take the rotary dial out from the living room. And
oh, man, you hold the last one down.
Yeah, I know. And I would sit there and count. I would count if I was the one that just called in, then the second one, then the third one. If I'm the fifth caller, and I got it right two out of like 20 times I tried it. But it literally was like pure random luck to do it back in the day doing that. But that just brought back memories.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And people are going, rotary dial, what's he talking about? But no, the last number on that you're dialing when you're trying to dial in on these things, you dial it all the way and hold it right there and then
and
let
hold
go.
It, and hold
that's
it.
Right.
Let go
yeah,
at the
you hold it.
Do it right.
Yeah, exactly. And hold it. And that was part of the key to it, too.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you would. Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing, what we're talking about baseball, I never really was like a minor league kind of baseball. I never really followed it. I just a little bit of baseball when it gets to World Series. But when y'all were complaining back a few years ago about the whole NIL, and about how it was going to ruin the minor leagues. In my mind, I was like, why do you even want the minor leagues? I don't think really many people watch it. And to make college be technically the minor leagues, I think it's better for everybody, because then college players don't get lost in limbo. You know, kind of like Aiden Holloway? Not Aiden Holloway, but what was our Sharif Cooper goes off into the G League and he gets nothing basically.
Oh yeah.
So I think it's better now because players can just stay in college, go to college. There's a few people that don't go to college, but they can stay in college, and then they can just go out whenever they need to. But they only go when they know they're going to play on a good team. You know, when they're going to actually play.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it's better in the long run the way it's turning out for baseball anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I mean, now minor league baseball in towns and cities where there's not college or something, I think sometimes that's really neat. Like, it's cool, really. And mm-hmm. Not that there's not colleges in Montgomery, but I mean, some are neat. But yes, there were more minor league franchises and teams than there needed to be.
And we have a lineup now for U.S. men's team. Flo Balogun is starting. Christian Pulisic starting. So it'll be their best team out there.
The best shot that they can give. Pat, good hearing from you, man. Brian, let everybody know before we run out of time how they can keep up with everything you're doing.
Yeah, check us out, auburnsports.com. You can sign up for a free trial online. You can follow me on Twitter /X at BMATAU. We'll be rolling out all the covers this week leading up to the Major League Baseball draft, and then next week into SEC Media Days.
Sounds good. That's going to wrap things up for the Monday Drive. Yep, we're back again tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We're out of here. Smith.